on the Coyote Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. This is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to another edition of YokeCast. It is great to have you alongside for this episode. And we got a big one today. We got four guests on the lineup today for this show, and so we'll get into all of that coming up in the show. Travis Johansson, defensive coordinator for the Yotes, entering his second season. We'll talk women's golf with Brett Bennett. We'll talk softball with outfielder Camille Fowler, and of course we will have South Dakota Athletics Director David Herbster as well. And obviously a lot to get to. Unfortunate news this week that the season opener, the home opener for the Coyote football team is postponed. And unfortunately, due to COVID issues within the Western Illinois football program, they have had to postpone the game, so no home opener on the 19th. Very disappointing. I know for a lot of people, myself included. I mean, I was looking forward to it, to getting the season going. But the nice thing is, if we can look for the positives, and I know that's not easy right now, but if we can look for the positives, at least the home game so far affected has the opportunity to be rescheduled. They're planning it for April 17th, the 1 o'clock kickoff in the Dakota Dome. That is a Saturday afternoon. And at least if we're going to have a home game impacted, right now we have that window of opportunity to reschedule. So, knock on everything. But we obviously still have on schedule four home games, and so we can at least appreciate that. And I know this is extremely disappointing for the team. It's got to be for the coaches. You think about this team and what they went through with this whole deal. They started fall camp, and they were going through that. And then one day they find out their season is postponed, and they had put in a lot of work. So then they pivot. They adjust everything on the fly. They start getting into other kind of conditioning, and they can't go through their normal winter conditioning. And then you come back after Christmas break, and you fire up practice again in January, and you've been practicing here for the last few weeks, getting yourself ready for the season opener, just to find out that the delayed football season is now going to be postponed another week. And now the Coyotes have to open up their season on the road at Illinois State and start the season with two road games before even playing at home. Now, the benefit is, you know, you pick up some momentum early in this season. You play a lot of home games towards the tail end or in the second half of the season, whatever it is. But the disappointing thing, certainly, is that you're sitting here with a delayed start to the season. And so I hope the team is able to just adjust, adapt to it, and keep focused, because this looks like a very talented football team, and I'm really, really excited to see them on the field. It'll be fun to see what they look like when they go to Illinois State, and that'll be the season opener now, February 27th, and it is a noon Central Time kickoff from Normal, Illinois. So, football season delayed. I know it's disappointing. I get it, but it's just the way it is, and we're just going to have to roll with it, and let's cross our fingers that the rest of the season is not impacted, and hopefully everyone doing their part to do whatever we can to make sure that we have a football season. Last weekend, the basketball teams went to South Dakota State. Overall, it was a very tough weekend, obviously, but huge win on Friday night for the Coyote men's basketball team, the first win for the program in Brookings since 2000. And to snap a streak like that, to break their home win streaks, they had a 32-game home win streak for Summit League basketball, 29-game home win streak overall. And the Coyotes went up there and snapped that streak, so that was a lot of fun, and then an entertaining game, certainly, on Saturday as well. So we'll see how basketball does this week at UND in Grand Forks. Games are set for Saturday and Sunday. All right, coming up in the show today, we'll talk Coyote defense with Travis Johansson. We'll talk women's golf with Brett Bennett, softball with Camille Fowler, and she is also a nursing major. So how has she reacted to the pandemic? And we'll get into all of that. But we'll get this thing started, as we do each and every week, with the athletics director at the University of South Dakota, David Herbster. David, we've been talking about getting things fired up in all sports, and, well, here we are. I don't know if anyone has looked at the calendar, but just about every sport USD has is in action in the next week to 10 days or so.
No, it really is. And, you know, you don't think about it at this time of year. Certainly you don't think about playing volleyball this time of year, playing football this time of year. But how about tennis? How about softball? Golf? Yeah, it is really starting to churn and burn right now. And you know what? We knew it. This was going to happen. This is going to be part of it. So, you know, certainly they're going to be, you know, like a weekend like this, you know, volleyball on a Sunday, Monday. That's odd, right? But, you know, it is what it is. I think we've all embraced it. The staff has embraced it. And we're at that point right now where just the opportunity to be able to play, the opportunity to get out there a little bit is, frankly, one of the most rewarding things for our student athletes. I mean, absolutely, they still want to win. But I think what's been more fulfilling and rewarding is how thankful they are for the opportunity to play and thankful for everything that everybody on campus and the department, all of our fans are doing to get them to this point to be able to play.
Everyone trying their best to make sure that we get to the action. And speaking of getting the action, disappointing news this week with a football season opener postponed with Western Illinois, something that you obviously hope doesn't happen, but you anticipate as a potential possibility, and unfortunately, it delays the season for another week.
Well, it really does, you know, and it is disappointing, without a doubt, and they've got some unique issues on their campus, and, you know, we're still, you know, a week plus away now from even from when we were supposed to play them, and you figure you could have been burnt, you could have worked yourself through it, but with the numbers that they were talking about both in their on their team, staff, and coaching ranks, the one thing I did appreciate about this one is this was not their AD calling me and saying, hey, I don't think we can do this. This was really the Missouri Valley taking a look at this, really kind of evaluating what Western's situation was and, you know, telling me and us having that conversation, Dave, there's no way they can do this. There's no, especially for the first game. Now, I do think, you know, had this been week four or five, I think it could have been different. But see, you're testing different, and you're in a little bit of a rhythm, but disappointing. That said, like I told Coach Nielsen, you know, winning championships isn't easy. And we're just going to have to roll with this one and gear up. It gives us a chance to get another week to get better. It gives us another week for some guys to heal up. But the challenge there is that our first two games are on the road. On the plus side, three of our last four are at home. So it's however you want to make of it, is how you can take this one. But I do know this coaching staff has really taken a positive, you know, making a positive out of what would seemingly be a negative.
So the game is moved to April 17th. When the schedule was redone, they left that final week open for a potential reschedule. So we're already seeing the benefits of having that open week built into the schedule.
Right. I just didn't think that we would fill April 17th this fast. You know, but it is what it is. And so we've got three of our last four at home. But what that also means is that we have no margin for error going forward. I mean, we used our wild card on the very first weekend, and but we also know that we've got a game on April 17th. So from that perspective, you know, it is just now that's when we play Western Illinois, and that's how our season is going to roll.
Has there been much of a conversation or even potentially discussed before all of this if there was a conference game that was postponed, whether USD would try to pursue any kind of non-conference game? Is there a possibility of that development, or are we just rolling with the conference schedule, postponed a week, and now hopefully playing eight straight weeks of football?
Sure. We've all committed to an eight-game schedule, and could we or would we try to get a non-conference game for next weekend? The challenge is there's really nobody available right now to play on that Friday that has been practicing. That is in their testing protocol. So, unfortunately, we don't have that luxury to try to fill February 19th with somebody else.
We discussed this about the Summit League with basketball and the possibility of moving games around if multiple games were impacted. Is it a possibility, number one? And if it is, when would be the deadline to potentially allow rescheduling of games throughout the course of the season?
It's a great question. You know what? We haven't gone through it, right? I think the Valley has taken a very proactive approach on how they're handling dealing with their basketball season. And they are the ones that are moving games around to make sure they get everything in. So they're experienced in that area and how they are kind of reshuffling the schedule. So I feel really good about their ability to pivot and do that with football. I just don't know, timing-wise, moving football around is not as easy as just getting on a bus and instead of going to Bradley, your basketball team is going to Evansville. Football has got a lot more moving parts from that perspective when you travel with such a large team.
Yeah, it takes a few more hotel rooms to secure for a football team, so there's a lot to think about there. Certainly understandable. I know fans have been wondering about this type of possibility, but we'll sit back, we'll see how things go, how the season goes, and hopefully we still get our four home games for fans this season. Speaking of home games, volleyball back at home Sunday and Monday for Summit League action. I know they'll be excited to be back home in the arena where USD fans have really grown with the sport of volleyball.
They have. And, you know, it's been great to see this team grow and this team help our fan base grow and this fan base help our team grow. Volleyball is a very intimate sport in the sense that it's actioned literally all the time. The crowd's involvement, there really can be a huge part of the game, momentum swings, things like that. But I like what, you know, if you look back to last year and how it grew throughout the year, the success of the team, and then we hosted the National Invitational Volleyball Championships all the way up to the championship game, and attendance grew each and every time, and having the ability to expose so many people to volleyball that they really had a good time. And that's what this sport needs to continue to grow. You know, you think about it, we look down south and you look what, let's say, whether it's Creighton or whether it's Nebraska and how big volleyball is in those states. I don't know if in South Dakota it gets to be that big, but we're certainly in this Midwest area where there's that much interest and support for volleyball that I think that translates well. It doesn't hurt when your volleyball team is really, really good and you have a great product to watch. So, it'll be good. I mean, I think that's one of those that coming out to volleyball matches, the great thing about it is, I mean, hour and a half to 2 hours, 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's not that long of a time, but it goes quick because the action is so quick.
Yeah, definitely is quick action. No doubt about that. You blink and you'll miss something. And local talent being good has been good for USD as well. Basketball heads to North Dakota this weekend, then back home for a couple of weeks. Basketball, of course, coming off that trip to SDSU, and I know it was a tough weekend overall, but the men's basketball team got a win Friday night. It was the first win in Brookings since 2000 for the men's basketball program. Certainly a long time coming, but finally got one, and I know fans celebrated it Friday night.
You know, I don't think I was that surprised over the win. I do think we match up very well with SDSU, and I know they're good. And then, you know what? They know we're good. And it was just flat out a ball match. And wow, that was fun to see. It was fun to watch them play well on both ends of the floor. You know, roll around the next day. In this league and on the road, it's going to be very difficult to beat someone two times in a row. And kind of hit a scoring drought there at the end of the second half that really kind of did us in, you know. But then you have to give SDSU credit. They defended their home court. On the women's side, that first game, that was a tough one. Just did not. I've never seen us shoot that poorly. And certainly that you're not going to see that two games in a row. And fast forward to the next day, we shot lights out. We really did. We had some unfortunate calls there at the end that did not go our way. And next thing you know, they clip us by 4 or 5 points. If that game ends a minute sooner, we win. If the game goes another minute, minute and a half, we come back and win. Who knows? I mean, right? But that's what rivalry games are all about, and it's on their court. And, you know, give them credit. They, you know, they did what they had to do in winning both games at home. But, you know, the way we roll now, every weekend's a new weekend. So, you know, we got to learn from that and then get ready to go up to Grand Forks and try to win two at North Dakota on their home court.
Yeah, no doubt. With the coaches that we have here, they've done a great job with the growing process, so we'll watch that growth over the next few weeks. I mentioned a lot of sports are going on right now. Softball is going to Louisiana. Women's golf is in Jacksonville, Florida. Are you able to get on one of those trips? Because I don't know if you looked outside, but it's not exactly golf and softball weather where we live.
No, this is going to be a little challenging weekend for weather, right? Oh, good grief. Yeah, seeing it. I mean, you're right. Where they're all heading to, it's like, yeah, that's where I need to go. No, I will probably do very little traveling this year. You know, everybody's trying. We're really trying to control the controllables, right? So I need to get, you know, when softball goes to Phoenix, I might change my mind. But no, unfortunately, because when there's all these games all around the country, the one thing you can sure bet on is we've got stuff going on here too. So I will say you will not see me in Grand Forks this weekend because it's going to be colder than Vermilion, and I ain't going up there.
Yeah, that's a smart decision. If you had a choice to go anywhere this weekend, that would not be the place of all options for Coyote Athletics.
I will be thinking of you, John.
Well, send warm thoughts if you can. We are going to need them.
You need to send me take pictures of the weather app you have on your phone and send them to me. Then I'll send you the pictures of, and it'll be only like 10, minus 10 here. And I know you're going to cry because that's going to be warmer than you.
No doubt. Hopefully basketball teams will heat up the shooting inside and we'll be able to get through it.
Amen.
Well, I know a lot of things are going on, and it's very busy, so greatly appreciate your time as always, and hopefully we'll get more positive news about football going forward, basketball, all the other sports as they try to navigate through their seasons. It's a lot of fun right now, even though I know it's very, very busy, but it is a lot of fun. Thanks so much for your time.
All right, thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletics director of the University of South Dakota. For the past decade, there's only been one place to watch your favorite coaches, players, and teams. That place is Midcoast Sports Network, celebrating 10 years of sports this season. Well, the volleyball team has its season underway. They are in Louisiana this weekend for 6 scheduled games to be played at Southeastern Louisiana, and had a chance this week to catch up with outfielder Camille Fowler, who decided to come back for a 5th season. She's had a lot of success in her career, a lot of excitement for fans certainly to watch, and we talked about her playing career, the team this year, and also her nursing major and her involvement in the pandemic. Camille, the season is finally here for your team, and you're ready to kick off the season after last year and having your season shortened, obviously due to the pandemic. How excited is your team right now as you get ready to take the field?
We're pretty excited. It's getting like closer and closer each day. We only have two more days, yeah. And it kind of seems like surreal just because we haven't played in a game in 11 months. So it's kind of like we forgot, but it's kind of like we're just anticipating what it's going to feel like to be out on the field again. It's exciting.
Now, you're obviously from Omaha, just down the road, and you're a 5th year. What made you decide to come back and give softball another go?
I don't feel like I left my senior year the way that I really wanted to. I can remember it ended on a strikeout, so I definitely don't want to do that. So that was I remember. And there's some things I want to accomplish before I leave.
Well, I hope that you can step up to the plate right away and, you know, get one of those doubles or triples or whatever it is just to make up for that strikeout. And you talk about you've got a lot more to accomplish. You've been really good in your career at USD, 8th all-time in hits, 7th all-time in runs scored. When you look back at your career to this point, what do you like to reflect on?
I really couldn't even, like, remember all this, like, the things I have accomplished, but I can remember, like, being in the dugout and, like, being with my team. I think that's what I enjoy the most, and I just want more of those experiences because those also bring me to the player that I am.
For anyone who has looked outside anytime recently, it's not ideal softball practice conditions or playing conditions. How has your team been able to practice as you prepare for a season, with the, especially with the challenges of the dome and football turf being down and some of that stuff?
Yeah, well, the football turf just went down, so that's been nice to be in the dome for the last couple weeks and being able to have kind of like a bigger field. Otherwise, we've been going to North Sioux City at this field house, and it's been pretty nice. There's like three cages where we can get a lot of work in. I'm an outfielder, so it's not too great for the outfield, but it's nice that we're back in the dome a couple days a week to get that defense in.
Is it really, is it a challenge having to drive to a little ways to practice?
Yeah, for me especially, my major, I have classes kind of during the driving time, so I've missed a couple practices, but the 2:15 departure kind of sucks, but everybody else has been able to go and has made it work.
You know, as you talk about your major, you're a nursing major. What inspired you to go into nursing, or why did you want to go into the nursing field?
I was debating between nursing and speech language pathology, but a couple of years back, my aunt got diagnosed with leukemia, and so when I was at the hospital, I kind of saw how nurses impacted her and kind of brightened her day, and I just knew, like, I wanted to be that for other people.
Well, that's incredible. So with this pandemic, have you been able, as a nursing major, to get involved with the whole COVID-19 pandemic?
Yeah, so last year we got our clinicals got cut off and we had to do, like, virtual stuff, but we're back in the hospital, and I've been doing my preceptorship, so it just is where I'm following one nurse, and I'm kind of, like, doing everything, and so we've been able to interact with people. We just wear our face shield if we're ever in patients' rooms, and I got vaccinated, so it's all kind of slowly going back to normal.
You know, as the vaccine has started to roll out, how would you describe your experience with the vaccine and anything that you went through with that?
When I got my first dose, I just had, like, some arm soreness, kind of like what everybody gets. And then when I just got my second dose, I had a little fever and some chills and body aches, but it only lasted, like, the rest of the day. And then I was perfectly fine the next day.
From what you've seen as a nursing major, what's your message to people when they ask you about the pandemic and the vaccine and just all of it together?
Sometimes I think people don't know how serious it is if it doesn't really affect them personally, but to see how getting COVID can then really take a turn on someone's health and now they're on oxygen for the rest of their life. So I just tell people to wear a mask and don't spread the disease, because even if they're healthy, that doesn't mean that the next person is.
No doubt. Well, hopefully we'll get through it sooner rather than later. A little normalcy returns for your team this week in Louisiana and set to play, I believe, 6 games down there. What are you looking forward to the most when you go on this trip and finally get on the field in a game situation?
I'm really looking forward to just, like, competing and being competitive against other people than my teammates, and then all coming together to just, like, one goal and winning that first game, and just competing is my main thing. I'm very competitive, and so I'm really ready to get back to that.
So outside of Camille Fowler, who should fans be excited about for this year's team to be leaders on this softball team?
Lauren Emigel, our starting shortstop. She started there since she was a freshman. She's a player to watch this season. I think Sarah Lisco will shine this year as a pitcher. Same with all of our other pitchers, but those are some two people to keep your eyes on.
And what do you hope people see out of this softball team this year when they finally do get the chance to see you back at home or even get the chance to watch wherever you may be playing?
Well, I hope we're on, like, by the time we start playing at home, like, on a winning streak, and we get a bunch of fans to come out and just keep our momentum going and then into the postseason. That's really what I would like to see.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing how the softball team can get it started. Good luck this week as you guys get your season underway. Thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it, and have a good season.
Thank you so much.
That's Camille Fowler. She is an outfielder for the University of South Dakota softball team and certainly has had herself a great career, and she'll get the opportunity to continue that great career here throughout the course of this season. Women's golf, well, you look outside, it's not exactly golf weather, right? I would love to be out playing golf right now, but that's not happening for quite some time in the place that we live. Not anytime soon. But women's golf is on the road this week. They will travel to Jacksonville, Florida. They will compete in their first event of the year, practice round set for Sunday. They compete Monday and Tuesday, and we'll look forward to seeing how they are able to get through it, get through their season. And this week I caught up with the head women's golf coach at USD, Brett Bennett. Brett, you're finally able to kick off the season. It has been a long time coming, I'm sure, for your group, like it has for many collegiate athletes. Let's start there. How's your team handled the constant adjustments and things of that nature and the shifted schedule?
It's been going pretty well for the most part. Coming back here from second semester, we've just been, you know, working our tails off, quite honestly, 6 days a week and a couple of hours in the dome here and in our new indoor chipping and putting area too. So I think it's been getting used to hitting balls in the dome with masks on. That's something that's been different. And, you know, now that we look at going forward into our schedule, just, you know, figuring out what we need to do and how to navigate to have everybody healthy, And, you know, just even on a week-to-week basis, if we've got to change something around with workouts and, you know, because other teams are flip-flopping, it's just being, you know, fluid and trying to handle those situations as best as we can. So schedule has changed a little bit, and even as we look at our playing schedule, our first event actually should have been yesterday and today out in California, but with the conference that the school that was going to host was in, changed their start date to a week later. So, you know, even as we look at that change that is made, we've had to, you know, just kind of roll with the punches, and we were able to reschedule that to another event here at GCU at the beginning of March. But overall, it's just a matter of taking day by day, hour by hour, and trying to stay as healthy as we can.
You normally would have played, obviously, a fall season, and for obvious reasons, things have been adjusted. But golf is a little bit different in which some of these athletes may or may not have competed in events in the summer. Did a lot of your athletes take advantage of those type of opportunities to try to continue to improve their game?
You know, I have a handful that are in the Midwest here, and they were able to do that. I would say they probably played in 2 to 3 events for the most part, and I had 2 in British Columbia that weren't able to compete. So as I look at the roster and those that are were here in the Midwest, they were able to get a little bit of golf in. And then, like you said, as we came to the fall, we had canceled our competition schedule, but we were still able to practice. So that was a bonus to get the freshmen in here and get our team chemistry kind of going and get everybody integrated with each other. But overall, they were able to get a little bit of competition in. But I think, you know, their college golf experience is playing as a team, and it's the travel that happens on the road and, you know, all those fun times as you get in an airplane and head to all over the United States. That really is what this college golf experience is. And we haven't had that for 11 months. And I know there's a lot of other sports and programs, you know, that haven't had that either. So, you know, when we get to Florida here this week and we're able to tee it up and I get to see a ball fly and we're able to post some scores on a scoreboard and come together as a team, it's going to be so much fun.
As you take a look at that roster and talk about the roster that you have, what are you excited about with this roster? Who gets you excited about somebody who's, you know, continued to elevate their game at USD?
Well, one in particular, I would say, is Lars Jensen, our junior who's from Denmark. She was actually stuck here over the summer and, you know, I think found almost a new passion for her game, quite honestly, and the time and effort that she has put in not only, you know, this summer, but if I look back the last year or two, she's, you know, really matured and looking at her mental game within the game of golf. It's really progressed. So her game is one that sticks out to me in terms of, I know we've made progress and we haven't been able to see a finished product at USD with her game here in 11 months. She did win the South Dakota Amateur Golf Tournament stroke play event this summer. So that was a highlight for her where we saw some good scores. And so it just goes back to, you know, her waking up early in the mornings and being over at our indoor chipping and putting facility before anybody gets there. And those are the hours that every successful person puts in, but you never see. And so I'm happy to have her get out on the golf course and see if we can have a finished product and see where her game's at. And then switching gears as I get to a couple of our freshmen, Danica Berdura and Akari Hayashi. Those two have come in and qualified here for our first event. And, you know, it's been almost year and a half, 2 years since we started recruiting those two, and to have them be here and be a part of our team and going to be contributing. I'm excited to see how their junior golf experience translates to Division I golf. And I know based on, you know, what they've accomplished at the junior golf level that they're going to come in here and have success. There may be some nerves towards the beginning, but once we get competition round out of the way and they get settled in, the sky's the limit for those two.
You know, as you take a look at your schedule coming up here next week, Jacksonville, Florida is where the season gets underway. I'm looking at this schedule and I see Phoenix, Arizona and Houston, Texas, and I'm wondering if your team needs a caddy or anything like that.
Well, I tell you what, John, that is, you know, as we look at a typical spring schedule for us, South Dakota, as we know, you've got to go south to be able to play golf. And so our schedule typically begins somewhere in February. And we are headed to some very sunny and hopefully warm spots here the next month or two in kind of the beginning of our season. So, no, that's something that we're blessed with and are able to do as we get to the beginning of the spring. And as it's negative degrees here in the next week, and we're sitting right on the beach, John, we'll be smiling. So maybe we can sneak you on our boarding the bag or something like that. But at this point, I'll let you know.
Yeah, at this point, I'll take anything we can get. You know, you talk about the weather and the challenges, obviously, of playing golf right now. You can't play golf here right now. How does this team practice? I don't know if people know about practice facilities, but how does your team prepare itself for these type of events?
Well, and when I'm recruiting, John, that's one of, you know, the first questions. And as we look at college golf, the indoor facilities have become such a large part of programs here. I would say in the last probably 10 years or so, if we look at the Power Five schools, they've got, you know, their own buildings out at some of them, they own their own golf courses. So we're looking big picture. You know, for us, we are excited about what we're able to accomplish here in the Dome. And then secondly, we were able to add a indoor chipping and putting facility that is about a third of a mile off of campus here. But as we look at the Dome, I'd say the most unique thing that we're able to accomplish here that other programs aren't able to is that we've got the size of a football field that we are able to hit, you know, full wedges, and we're able to utilize that full distance where some other programs are just constantly hitting into a net that's maybe 5 to 10, 15, 20 feet in front of them. So as we look at the University of South Dakota and our golf programs, we're able to see the ball fly a certain amount of distance. And so then along with that, we've got a net here in the Dome that, you know, we'll take full swings into, again, 15, 20 yards away. So that's kind of what we're able to utilize here in the Dome. And switching gears, you know, with the renovation that happened to the west side of the Dome, we prior to that had a old racquetball court room that was converted to chipping and putting area. Well, we lost that with construction. So here in the last year, we've been looking for something new. And here this spring season, just about a month ago, we opened up a new facility. It's about 800 square feet. Shout out to Matt Lavin for helping us get that area and allowing us to be in this room that he has. And so we've been in there. We added about 200 or 300 square feet of putting surface compared to what we had prior. And along with that, we've got a net in there that we are able to utilize full swing when, you know, other programs are utilizing the dome. And specifically this spring, as we've got all these sports going, it's been nice to kind of have our own little home away from home here. And so we're blessed to have that, and the student athletes have been so excited to have that at their fingertips. So a combination of those two facilities are what we're able to, or how we're able to work on our games here in the winter in South Dakota.
Well, obviously those facilities greatly help, but sometimes getting on the course is what you need. How important is it to get this team where they're going for a practice round ahead of a typical two-day tournament?
You know, the practice rounds are always something that, you know, we try to take our time with, even more so when we've been in the winter here, we haven't been able to see the ball fly. So, you know, our typical travel will start on a Saturday. We'll get into wherever we're going, like you said, Jacksonville, Houston, and Phoenix here. But we'll get in kind of that day early, hopefully be able to see some, hit some balls, be able to see the ball flying in as we get to Sunday. Traditionally, the day that is our practice round, you know, getting the golf course an hour or two early, again, starting to put in that time prior to getting on the golf course. And, you know, within a practice round, we're just hitting golf shots. We're not keeping score. We're trying to, you know, decide where bunkers are. Can we get to them? Hazards. Really just get a feel for the layout of the golf course and start to strategize how we're going to be able to score and how we want to play it within each player. So taking the time during that practice round to, you know, just go through the routine that we need to and kind of take our time with it. Make a lot of extra putts, a lot of extra chips around green, seeing how, you know, the different grasses are reacting and the speeds of the green. So it is certainly important for us to get those, rounds in and take our time with those, before we start competition, on Monday and Tuesday when our, tournaments are traditionally played.
Brett, I'm curious, if any, but how much time goes into researching these golf courses before you even show up, to whether it's you or the team, to kind of have an idea and an understanding of what you're about to encounter?
There's certainly some prep that goes into it. Maybe, you know, less if we've been to an event prior or, some of the players have, you know, been able to play that golf course. But, you know, there's a handful of hours that are put into that prior to us getting down, to wherever we're going. But, you know, the main thing that we start to use and utilize are our yardage books. You know, those are hole by hole, maps of each hole, yardages, where bunkers are, again, hazards, and even this semester we've got our green layouts, which actually show us kind of a heat-sensored map of which way the greens break. So that's kind of next level for us, something that we're introducing. So, you know, it's a matter of kind of getting that imagery, going through that process of seeing, hey, where can we put shots within those yardage books and start to kind of visualize a little bit. But then really, John, a lot of that work is done during that practice round. So, yes, there is some prior to leaving. And I know, you know, our student athletes are, you know, they want to play the best that they can. And so as you look at, you know, a PGA Tour event where some of those guys are playing the golf course 2 or 3 days prior to that event and playing, you know, 9, 18 holes and getting multiple rounds in, we're only limited to one prior to teeing it up and having to count the scores. So, yeah, it's if you can put in that time prior to getting down there and then, again, taking the time during the practice round to really map out what you need to in terms of your yardages, it's only going to help you as you get out there.
How much are you as the head coach able to be involved with your team during these events? Or is it pretty much they're on their own once they get competition underway?
John, I can do just about everything besides carry their bag for the most part. So, as we're on the golf course, you know, a lot of it, we've got 5 players out there. So I've always got a cart. Probably my biggest role is, feeding them and keeping them hydrated. But, you know, even more than that, I kind of act as a caddy would be to a certain degree how I would explain it. So, you know, the goal for me is to, you know, check in on each player, you know, throughout the 18 holes or, you know, some days we're playing 36 holes on Monday that, you know, those days become 8-9 hour grinds, and you know, there's not too many other sports that are on the competition field for that length of time. So, you know, I'm helping them through golf shots, but more or less, you know, kind of helping them with their emotions at the end of the day. And, you know, you're going to have your peaks and your low points, within a round. So for me, it's really just trying to provide, you know, maybe that ear, to listen to, you know, maybe some frustrations at some point, or, you know, be able to, you know, pick them up when they need to at the same time. So, you know, my role is I kind of wear many different hats while we're out there, but I can do just about anything besides carry their bag, for the most part, as I like to explain it. So, that's, you know, it's funny because we put so much work into this that, you know, we're finally at the event. We're finally in competition. We're finally, you know, doing what we've set out to do. And so for me, it's just a matter of helping them play as best as they can while we're on the golf course.
You know, I hope at some point I'll do some of these conversations and not have to discuss this. But in a COVID world, obviously, there are questions about how the testing is and how you have to go through some of that process prior to events. How is the testing set up for women's golf?
Well, golf is considered a low contact sport. So per NCAA rules, we do not need to do any testing. There's medium contact sports and then there's high contact sports. So the testing is different for those, but for us, for golf, per NCAA rules, we don't need to do any testing technically. Now, as we start to go to our events, you know, there are schools that host events, and really where testing protocol is coming from is from which conferences those schools are in and what those conferences are determining that they would like to do for golf. So for us, we're going to play in 5 events prior to going to our conference, and none of those schools are in the same conference. So our testing protocols are kind of fluctuating a little bit between the events that we're going to. For us, we've got one event that requires a PCR test, two that are going to require an antigen test, and then we've got 2 that don't require any tests. So quite honestly, it's all across the board in terms of what our testing protocol calls are going to be. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the conference rules that the school is in.
Well, keep them healthy and get ready for a fun season. Looks like you'll have some nice events coming up, and we'll look forward to seeing how the team does. Brett, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. And enjoy the trips and enjoy the season.
I will. Appreciate the time, John. Go Yokes.
That's Brett Bennett. He is the women's golf coach at the University of South Dakota. Okay, Yotes fans, let's bank some noise. First Dakota National Bank is here to help you reach all of your financial goals. Bank some noise with First Dakota at firstdakota.com, member FDIC. Well, we know by now the football season opener has been postponed, and unfortunately we won't see the Yotes on the football field until the 27th in a game situation at Illinois State. But certainly, as you look at this football team, a lot of interest in the defense and their growth from a year ago. And had a chance this week to catch up with Travis Johansson. He's entering his second season as the defensive coordinator at USD. Travis, as you guys build up for the start of the season, and you've gone through obviously some changes from last fall, getting the season adjusted and everything, and then getting these guys back for a spring season. I know it's different, but how have these guys responded to this type of setting and just the different type of season?
They've responded unbelievably, you know. You know, I think the reality is we got a group of guys that are, one, resilient, obviously, and two, can see the end of the road, I think, at this point, you know. I think, you know, once we got the go-ahead that, you know, here's the Valley schedule, and it's right here in front of you, and we're selling tickets and all that. You know, they see that, you know, football's back and we're going to play, and all the preparation that they put in is going to pay off. So, you know, although we got a little bit of a road bump, I think, you know, they have the same mindset. So they've handled it awesome.
Have you guys had to do anything special to try to make this seem like it's in the fall or anything like that? Or is it just that they know there are games coming and these guys are treating it just as they would if the season was played in the fall?
No. You know, I think the biggest, you know, change is, you know, you kind of go into a preseason camp. And typically, you know, there's no class and you're coming off the summer and you don't have, you know, you acclimate back into school kind of towards your first game or shortly after. And, you know, this year, you know, they're in class and studying and taking exams during, what would, you know, typically be a fall camp. So, you know, you really don't have any choice but to be organized and efficient and get right into it. So, you know, I don't think we've had to pull the wool over their eyes and make it seem like fall, but, you know, they've been fully immersed in everything since day one. You know, it's kind of just, you know, hang on and get going. So, it's a little different, but, you know, nothing really intentional that way.
What has been the biggest focus for you and the defensive staff as you continue to try to build that defense?
Fundamentals, you know what we're going to be built around, you know, from, you know, what we're building off from a year ago is our fundamentals, you know, a defense that plays extremely hard, tackles well, gets off blocks well, out of great alignments. And, you know, every day we harp and not even harp, our kids are fully immersed and bought in. You know, everything we do from the minute we walk out until the minute we leave, you know, really focuses around, you know, those three things. And so, you know, we will, feel really good about where those guys are at right now. And those were, you know, we all know those were the key things we had to improve. And so going into the spring, you know, we feel like we're, you know, we're ready for game. We're going to go play now.
So you talk about fundamentals and kind of shoring some things up there. Have there been a lot of focus groups on those position groups, individual areas as they continue to build some of these areas that maybe were younger a year ago as far as experience is concerned?
Yeah, I think at this point you don't really feel like anybody is young. You know, even our freshmen have, you know, they essentially had what would have been a spring ball. You know, in this fall, and then they back it up with a fall camp. So I think when it comes to experience, what we're lacking is, you know, in some positions, is maybe some game experience truly in the game. But, you know, we spent a lot of time, you know, in working on a lot of specific situational work and putting them in so many different game situations, you know, clock run-ins, timeouts, field zones that, you know, I feel like these guys have experienced a lot of that, you know, minus a different opponent. But, you know, yes, you know, we've really pushed that with not just our returners, but everybody on the depth chart.
You know, as we look at that defense, the way it lines up, start with the defensive line. This is a group that obviously lost a lot from the last time that we had games. It feels weird to say a year ago, but it's a little over a year ago for this group. But lost some guys off there. Obviously, Devlon Whitcomb is kind of that veteran on that defensive front. We saw some things out of Jackson Coker, a little bit of Brendan Webb. I know there's some new guys on that defensive line. What are you looking for out of this group?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a year ago we were, you know, I thought we were pretty talented. And obviously you lose, you know, Cam Klein and Darren Greenfield and you kind of step back and go, how do you replace that? You know, but in the same breath, you know, a lot, those guys took a ton of snaps. And, you know, right now after 15 months or so, you know, we're deeper, you know, we'll truly be able to, you know, roll out. Really, there's seven or eight guys in that group that are playing good football for us. And so we'll have the ability to keep them fresh, for a lot of guys to play, less snaps. And so, you know, overall, I think we can be just as productive or more. But it's, you know, with a different style, I guess I'll say, you know, Devlon is obviously the guy that has the most game experience. You know, Brendan Webb has been phenomenal. Coker, you know, the guys like Nick Gaze and Lucas Becker, a young guy that's come along, our freshman, you know, Will Dunn, Jack Hagee, You know, Ethan Burstyn has come along. Blake Holden has come along. I mean, there's not a guy in that depth chart right there that isn't getting themselves ready to actually play for us. So, you know, although we lost some really talented guys, we've got a stable of guys that will play good football for us.
You know, it's hard to take guys like Darren Greenfield and Cam Clyde off of the field, but how important is it to have a deeper rotation, guys that you can throw out there with fresh legs as you continue to grind through some of these games, especially in this league?
Yeah, in this league you have to. You know, those guys were unbelievable taking the load like they did a year ago, but it was hard for them. You know, you spend 8 games in a valley, you know, playing, you know, the rate of snaps we play sometimes, and it takes a toll on you. And so, you know, we had to address it. We had to develop and continue to develop, you know, the guys on our roster who have a ton of potential and are realizing it at this point. And so we had to address that. And so, you know, we're excited about that group. You know, that group is going to, you know, they've had a really nice fall, backed up with this spring, and are ready to go.
I'm going to assume that you are excited about the linebacker group as well. This is a very, very talented group on the football team, and probably the most experienced all around for this team in general. But you look at this group, there's so much talent there. There's got to be just a ton of competition for playing time.
Yeah, there really is. I mean, you know, you're talking about having you know, Jack Cochran and Brock Mogensen, Jakari Starling, and obviously, you know, our rush position with Jake Matthew taking a ton of reps last year, but there's an unbelievable group right there with them. You know, Stephen Hillis and Jake Richardson at rush, and John Jonas and Trey Thomas both taking great reps at stud. We brought a transfer in Kadeem to play, you know, playing Will. Dakota Smith has come along. Young guy Vincent Starling, Jakari's brother, is really going to be something once, you know, we get some experience under his belt. So, you know, not only is it a talented group, it's become a lot deeper too. So, you know, that group's fun to watch every day for sure.
Talk about the defensive secondary. This is obviously a group that needed to grow last year on the fly with game experience and continue to get better. How much growth have you seen out of that position group?
A lot. You know, we're going to count on, you know, some younger guys. You know, we've got some freshmen that have come in and done a really, really nice job, and they're going to add some depth and help us there. You know, Coach Taylor, you know, when he got here, has done a tremendous job with our corner group. Those guys, you know, technically are playing really high-level football. They've become a very, very intelligent group and competitive. You know, super happy with how that's gone. And so, you know, they're very much improved, you know, and having, you know, E.J. Reed back there, you know, with Isaiah McDaniels back, you know, those two guys are playing really, really, really well together. You know, D. Bolden is actually a guy we moved to safety along, and he's had a nice camp along with two freshmen, Nate Valcarcel and Chase Lopez. You know, those guys at safety are all playing good football for us, feel confident with all of them in the game. You know, and then we got Corey Fant and you know, Miles Harden, who's a freshman who's played really good. Trey Jackson has come along a ton. So, you know, there's again, I think a lot like, you know, a year ago, we just, you know, worked our tails off at creating more depth. And so we feel good at this point.
Fans will no doubt be excited to see this group, the entire defense on the field and see how things have come since last year. What do you hope that fans notice about this particular group and the strides that you've made from a year ago?
You know, just a really sound, physical, fundamentally sound executing group. You know, these guys don't play really hard, and there's no question about it. They play really, really hard every day. They compete every single day, and they're much, much more fundamentally sound. These guys tackle, they get off blocks, they play to the football the right way, and so, you know, we couldn't be happier where we're at. You know, they're just ready to go play somebody else. They're tired of hitting each other in the mouth at this point. So, you know, the day we get one, they'll be ready to go.
And obviously it's delayed another week. We have learned that this week, the disappointing news about the season opener. How did the team just in general handle the news about the postponement, and how have they responded?
You know, naturally, I think they obviously disappointed. You know, those guys wanted to play. We were looking forward to play. We all kind of let our guard down and went, all right, this is going to happen. But, you know, I think last night it struck them to a certain degree. But, you know, it was interesting. We wanted to see how they were going to be out at practice. And, you know, today might have been one of the more competitive days we've had since we started. You know, those guys came out and ran everything really well, competed with each other well. You know, had a great physical competitive day when a lot of teams might have you know, felt sorry for themselves. They didn't do that. So, you know, we got our eyes forward on Illinois State. You know, we got a good 17 days here to prepare for them, and I think that's where our guys' attention is now.
Well, we're all looking forward to it, no doubt about it. Travis, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. We look forward to seeing the defensive unit, just the Coyote football back on the field real soon.
Thanks, John.
That's Travis Johansson. He is the second-year defensive coordinator for the Yotes. And tell you what, I'm really looking forward to seeing that defense on the field here very, very soon and seeing how they've continued to operate, continue to grow throughout the course of the offseason, because it's an interesting group. They're loaded at linebacker. They've got a ton of talent on the defensive line. A lot of it maybe we haven't seen a whole lot of yet, but a lot of talent. And the secondary certainly has really grown as well, and really excited to see the steps for that group as well. That's going to just about wrap things up for us here this week on Yotecast, and let's take a look now at the week ahead, or the events coming up in USD Athletics. Softball is on the road at Hammond, Louisiana. They play the Southeastern Louisiana Tournament. They are playing they play Thursday. They have one. They've got a couple of matchups on Friday. They'll continue with a couple on Saturday, and they play another one on Sunday before returning home, so we'll see how things go for softball. Track and field heads to Topeka, Kansas, where they will compete this week. Swimming and diving will take on South Dakota State. That is in Vermilion. That is on Friday event. And then on Saturday, basketball heads to Grand Forks, North Dakota. Women and men, the women at 12 o'clock, men at 2:30, same times on Sunday as well, as we continue on through the basketball seasons. And then Sunday, we'll keep an eye out for softball, seeing how their season is able to go. They'll have a couple of matchups. Soccer scheduled for an exhibition against Drake. And, of course, as we mentioned, men's and women's basketball. And then volleyball plays against Omaha, a home Summit League matchup. That is on Sunday at 4 o'clock inside the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. So check that out, and we'll see how things go there. And then Monday, of course, more volleyball at home, a 7 p.m. start time. And Monday and Tuesday, women's golf is at the Amelia Island Collegiate in Jacksonville, Florida, as they get their season underway. That's a look at this week in Coyote Athletics, and that is going to wrap things up for us here in this episode. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen. If you haven't already, download and subscribe. You'll never miss the latest edition of Yotecast. Have a great weekend. Be safe, whatever you do. And as always, go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Coyote Sports Network.